call the City of Franklin Committee of Whole to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson.
Here.
Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Excused.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Here.
Alderman Skransky.
Here.
Please rise during the pledge of allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item on the agenda is citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
I can just quickly tell you what's coming up in the library.
Never mind.
Never mind.
The mayor's got to put
that in. We can cut the budget on the library. That's right. It took our time.
That's
Even though we rehearsed these things, Barbara.
Yeah, it ain't going to work.
Okay, the first item is business. Item A, Mayor's recommended 2013 budget. In parentheses, it says, including all funds, departments, revenues, expenditures, and activities. I said when we delivered the Mayor's recommended budget to you that given that we have changed the process from my budget going to the Finance Committee for their review and study, et cetera, et cetera, it is now going to the Common Council by changes made by the Common Council. But in the, I guess this is my eighth budget as the mayor, I have never, when I sent the budget to the Finance Committee, actually gone in and argued for my budget. It would be counterproductive. It would be like me arguing against myself, which with your permission, I'm going to hold to that practice, and I'm just going to make a very, very short little speech, and then I'm going to, with no objections, turn the gavel over to the Common Council President and let him go through and conduct the budget as you normally would with the Finance Committee, and I am going to excuse myself from that. There are a couple things I would like to point out, however, and that is on page 9 of your documents, if you all have that. Oops. I would like to point out that my recommended budget, if you look at the column 2013 departmental request versus my recommended budget, it is some $872,825 less than the departmental request, which took quite a bit of time and effort on the part of myself, mostly Mark Liberta, Paul, and Cal, along with the assistance of all of the department heads. So what we're bringing this to you tonight, that was no easy task, and there was much discussion before that number came in here. All of us know that we've had some really tough, extremely tough fiscal times in the last 3 years or so. There's a lot of our constituents that have been holding on by their fingernails, trying to make their mortgage payments and their car payments, things of that nature. And I think they would appreciate that we take all of that into consideration and try and keep the expenditures and the operations, the operating expenditures of the city as low as we possibly can. But because it is Franklin, I think they still expect a high level of service delivery. They still expect programs to be delivered. They would be disappointed if there was no 4th of July activity. They would be disappointed if the library had closed for a few days. They would be disappointed if the St. Martin's State Fair did not take place as normal, or the DARE program, or things of that nature. And I think the other thing that they would be more than a bit disappointed with would be if there was a action by the Common Council to cut safety. I think we found that out over the years, the number of budgets that it's not wise to ask the Franklin people to cut public safety, either in police or fire. I would also say that public health comes under that description. Building inspection, while we may not think of it, if you don't have the right building inspectors out there, things could happen. We've seen that happen in other municipalities, bridges collapsing, buildings falling down, multi-million-dollar lawsuits taking place. I'm not sure that everybody would think of the guys that go out and plow the snow every year as public safety, but they are. And without those gentlemen, our streets would become very unsafe. So I see there's a couple of them tonight. I know that in my discussions with the common council members, I know that they hold our public works employees in high regard, and they should, because they do a great job. So with that, I wanted to point out on page 9, and then I would ask you to turn to page 10 and look at the bottom of the page where it says 2008 in the column. I'll wait till you get there. It says total tax levy 2008 per capita $582.05. Now, while we've had a tough economy, things like price of a loaf of bread, price of gas, gallon of gas, and all those things have continued to rise. Yet the budget that's before you is actually, you're looking at a per capita tax levy that is less than what was put in place in 2008, $575. And then to continue to say that, I'll make this short and sweet, I will, on page 11. Well, Governor Walker has, and the state legislature has done, I think, a pretty commendable job of trying to work within their means and trying to provide the municipalities with some tools to try and handle this tough economic time. They didn't give us everything that we've required. And it should be noted that, you know, in under state revenue, 2003, the city then received $822,500 in shared revenue. Now, in 2012, that was cut to $471,000 for a 57% decrease in the amount of shared revenue that this municipality gets. And yet they expect us to keep the same level of services, keep libraries open and all that. So why are we all going as gray as I am? Because of these types of cuts that have been made to the municipalities. Then a little bit lower in the second paragraph, it says in 2013, the city of Franklin expects to receive $350,000, down from $610,000 that it had received in 2003. Again, that's a 57.4% decrease in the amount of funds that this municipality has received versus what it received in the past. No reflection on anybody up here because they weren't in office at the time. But we also run an EMS paramedic program. And as you know, we have been asking Milwaukee County government to put in a budget of some $6 million to attempt to cover some of the expenditures of the fire departments throughout the 19 municipalities. We were able to get then County Executive Walker to change his mind, and instead of giving us nothing in the supplemental payment, he decided that he would give us $3 million to cover some of our costs. In fact, we had a signing ceremony agreement with the then County Executive Walker out here on that particular agreement. Last year, through the efforts of the county board, the funds, there were $1.5 million put aside for EMS paramedic supplemental payment. This year, the county executive is offering the same $1.5 million for the 19 municipalities. Of that, City of Franklin only gets $125,000, yet our costs continue to rise. So I point that out to, many of you already know all of these things, but I point that out to you and to the public to let the everybody know that the elected officials in Franklin are trying to do their best, but we're not getting the assistance and we're not getting the revenue that we've been given in the past, even though the prices of commodities continue to climb. So with that, it's a very difficult work product that you have in front of you. I think that you have a budget that is fair. The tax rate is not going up, so the average person should see the same cost for their municipal government as they saw last year. I kept the garbage collection fee the same at $104, even though there are increases attributable to the new contract. And all of the services and programs that have been delivered in the past will be delivered once again through this budget. So with that, if there's no objections, I think I've delivered to you a very responsible budget. I want to thank Mark and Paul and Kale for all of the hard work that they did in putting this budget together. I think it's one of the best budgets that's been put together since I've been around here. And what I will do is pass the gavel and take off. Alderman Olson.
Before you leave, Mr. Mayor, you know, for the last, since 1998, no, that's not fair. Since about 2000, I've been an advocate of closing our budget gap, 0% increases, that kind of thing. And you and I have gone toe-to-toe. I'd say belly-to-belly, but that doesn't really count for you. But we've gone toe-to-toe on the budget. And I've reviewed this one again. And frankly, it's a better budget than I expected, and I appreciate that. I'd like us to find $60,000. I'd like us to work towards that end. But given that, I think this budget is much more reasonable than it had been.
Thank you very much, Alderman Olson. I greatly appreciate that, and I think the departments do as well. I'm sure Mark and Paul appreciate those comments. So, if there's no objections, I'm going to turn this over to the Common Council President and let you have at it.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you for, obviously, Alderman Olson made some very positive comments to start off this evening, and I'll just add that I think this is a very responsible budget when I first looked at it. And I appreciate all the time that you gave with staff. So I talked to Mr. Liberta earlier this afternoon, and kind of my thoughts going into this was we would start with some of the personnel changes that were recommended in this budget. We would do that. We also, within the personnel changes, we have some changes to DPW with some of their pension. I think we have some in the audience that I believe there's some answers to some of their questions that may have not, we don't have all the answers yet. I think they do deserve to get those answers. So I'd like to start with personnel changes. After that, there's no objection. I'd like to go to, in our council packet, we had updates, which are some changes that were made since we got the budget presented to us. Following that, on the very first page of our budget, I'd like to go to the general fund, revenue, then expenditures, and then the rest of the funds, and where we need to go from there. So, Mark, you want to please start with the personnel changes?
Sure.
Let me pass out some more things. What I've done in this handout that I gave, I simply took the three slides from the PowerPoint presentation I gave the other day when the budget was submitted that identified the changes in sort of the broad brush overview of the changes that were incorporated in the budget and some of the assumptions that were incorporated in the budget relative to personnel. So I just put those onto one page and put next to them some notes so you could sort of get the broad overview of the impacts within the budget of each of those steps. The first one was eliminating all new staff requests. There is a page in your budget book that identifies those. I did not put the actual reductions there, but I did list in that top box, there were two reclassifications incorporated, a request from the judge to reclassify one of the part-time people that they have following an anticipated retirement, taking two positions, blending them and giving them similar job titles and duties instead of two different levels to improve his ability to coordinate their tasks and their functions. I can go into that in greater detail if you need it. The cost involved for that is about $12,015 different, and a part of that cost could go up or down depending upon the level of insurance that a new employee would take, depending who it is. There's also a reclassification in engineering, taking an engineering tech 1 up to an engineering tech 2. We do have a process for that and a test for that, so the individual would have to do that. There's approximately a $6,000 cost for that. In this instance, it's very similar to what was done a number of years ago with the positions down in planning, where the ability to move through the steps was based upon the experience and the job description so that people don't top out after we get them trained and useful and have to go somewhere else once they really start to become useful in order to get any promotion or do better. We're really getting to a point where the individual's starting to work out of their lower level classification. And they're really becoming able to be function more independently in the field. And from a human resources standpoint, it's organizationally a good option, and it was included in the budget. The next one is reduce overtime requests. Police and fire were provided an increase of $10,000 in each department for overtime requests, but in that middle box there in the right column, you can see how much was cut. From Highway Department, the first number is the wage, the second number is the benefit. So, for example, the cut in Highway Department's overtime request, which was an increase over the current budget, was $6,200, an additional $950 in related benefits, FICA, and those kinds of payments, for a total reduction of $7,150. So, overtime savings from departmental requests were $110,000. Health plan design changes, I'll just keep flying through, and if you have questions on anyone, please feel free to cut in. Otherwise, I'll try and make it quick. Health plan design changes were reviewed by personnel at a committee meeting last week. They did recommend the changes that you see sort of outlined in that third box in the right-hand column. We're looking at modifying deductibles from the current $200 for single, $600 family, with out-of-pocket maximums of $400 and $1,200, moving that up to a deductible of $500 and $1,500 for family. Those numbers came patterned after a report we were able to get from our consultant using their entire book of business and a report pulled together from an independent consultant that identifies what the standard level of the average level of deductible for both local government plans and plans of our size organization. So that, as was stated in the budget presentation, the effect of that is basically to migrate our plan to be more consistent with what the typical plan has. And that $500 begins to make that move to it. It also the savings from that is about $186,000. Also included in that, and I can go into the details if you want, those of you who weren't at the personnel committee, I gave one of the blue binders from, which was some detailed work from the consultant on each of these programs. And if you have questions on that, please let me know. But we're also looking to add a step therapy program, which the insurance consultants say are in 100% of non-insured programs, of insured programs that they have. It just doesn't happen to be a component. A step therapy program basically requires a doctor to start at a generic level equivalent before they can move on. If there's medical reasons to move on to a non-generic when a generic is available, the plan obviously provides for that. But you have to at least start at the generic. Same thing with quantity levels. It's required in 100% of insured plans, Humana and Anthem, all of those programs require it. It just has never been a requirement of our plan. It's basically saying that when an employee receives a prescription, it has to follow the FDA dosage requirements. So and it's standard protocol for pharmacists, standard protocol for doctors. It just doesn't happen to be a component of our plan. And so we look to incorporate that. Lastly, mandatory mail. If you have a maintenance drug that you receive, monthly, you're always taking it, you would be expected to participate in the mail program where you receive that medication through the mail. The city saves money because it's cheaper for us, but the employee will also save money because they can get a 3-month supply for the equivalent of 2 months of copay. So it would save about $18,000, just in its almost an even split, as you can see on the sheet. $9,200 of the savings ends up falling to the city based on current prescriptions, and $8,900 of it would go to the employees based on current prescriptions. Those total savings in the health plan design, approximately $225,000. From that, we look for the premium to drop from its current $750 for a single plan and $1,812 for a family plan down to $705 for a single and about $1,705 for a family plan. Next thing, it incorporates the employee health premium contribution increasing from 10% to 12%. Many communities and those in the WRS moved to the 12% last year. We were able within the budget to restrain that immediate jump all the way up to 12. We did have to make the rest of that move this year, recognizing, of course, that 12% is now of the lower premium, because the premium itself is coming down about 6%. The budget does incorporate the fact that irrespective of current labor contracts, new employees after the adoption of Act 10 and Act 32 in the public safety departments participating in WRS do have to pay their employee premium share on their employee participation for the WRS. So although we still negotiate for employees who were on the books prior to that date, that's a state law, and so that can't be changed. And so it does build that cost in for the new employees. We did anticipate some contribution from public safety employees toward their pension when the two current labor contracts expire. It is consistent with what we're seeing in settlements across the state. That is something that is to be negotiated. If you want exact sort of detailed specifics on it, I would suggest we post a closed session on that, because it still is a matter under negotiation. But we've incorporated appropriate amounts based upon what we see in area settlements. Similarly, relative to wages, for public safety, police, and fire. We have been looking at what is in the settlements in the area and what's appropriate given our circumstances. And so we did anticipate a need to have wage increases in police and fire contracts after new contracts are in place for the coming year. Moving down to the bottom box for non-represented employees, and which are the bulk of remaining employees, we anticipated a 1% wage increase January 1st and a 1% wage increase July 1st. Naturally, some of those increases will be offset by additional premium shares and by the next one, which is moving the contribution to pension up from 4.2% to 5%. Employees in the state WRS plan that didn't have labor contracts that said otherwise went to half of the municipal contribution last year, and our total contribution is 10%, but we were able to keep that increase to only 4.2 instead of 5. We're going up to recommending going up to 5, which is then similar to what those employees in the state program have, which is half of the full premium for pension contribution. Lastly, we did include in the recommended budget a recommendation to freeze the DPW defined benefit pension plan for its current level of benefit and to current level of service years, and to no new member no new employees moving into the plan. Personnel reviewed that last week and weren't comfortable with recommending that at this point. They referred it to staff to provide some more information. At this point, moving forward, based upon the discussions from personnel a good hour and 40 minutes I spent with the employees of Sewer and Water and DPW, I believe for the same identified savings there at the bottom, which is in total about $70,000 between the general fund and sewer and water fund, and we had another long conference call with Principal today, which is our plan provider, I ordered some actuarial work from them. I think what you could do if you're needing to move forward is you can adopt the budget amount, the anticipated savings, leaving open the administrative question of how specifically to achieve that. Because we very well may be able to look at some creative ways working with the employees, which is what they asked me to look into. And as Human Resources Director, I would ask that you give me a chance to find some creative ways that specific plan might be able to be maintained, but the city still get the savings that it needs on an annual basis from it.
Would that mean that some of the employees would all contribute more? Is that where some of the savings would come in? Is that some of the conversation?
It would probably be a combination of a couple of factors, but one of them clearly would probably be a greater percentage contribution by those employees. For the defined contribution plan, the city's total contribution is about 10%. This year, for the defined benefit plan, it's about 16 to 16.6%. So not all of those costs will go away if we freeze the plan. Some of them we have as sort of legacy costs the way it is. So what I would look to do is identify clearly and fund that gap between what our cost going forward for under a frozen plan and the current costs, and put that together, and that could be done probably in November. The pension people need a few weeks to do the actuarial work, so probably before you actually would adopt the budget, you could have a good idea of the direction that we would go, and that would still enable us to get it adopted and written up prior to the start of the year. We don't have as a governmental plan. We don't have some of the ERISA deadlines that are required, but
So you have $70 worth of savings by making this change. Is that correct?
$70,000, yes.
So whatever you do, if you remain the same without having to go to a defined contribution, you just still figure out how to come up with that $70,000.
Yeah, and I think, I have a sense it can be done by slightly higher contribution. Potentially looking at, for members of that group, looking at the 2 1% raises for 1 year, and potentially for years going forward, slightly modifying some of the factors in the plan to provide some cushion in the future, retaining the full benefit for all prior years of service. That's one thing we've looked at throughout here, is that for years of service earned, we don't think we should impact that.
So you're prepared to sit down with these employees and try to come up with that $70,000 of saving that both sides can agree to? Is that what you're telling us? What?
$24,600.
Well, that's the sewer and water share. The general fund portion, which is DPW, is $45,400. So the
right,
total,
so 70,
total impact is about between $60,000 and $70,000.
You're prepared to sit down and obviously come to, because they have to. Agree to it, but it's in their best interest if they want to keep it the way it is to come to some
What I'll take away from that is what I'm hearing is that if the Common Council moves forward and proves it this way, you're expecting me to bring back a proposal that at least the employees understand and can give you some sense that they understand it and are comfortable moving forward.
That's how I look at it, but I mean, my colleagues and anything to add on that? I mean, I think that there's some questions that are unanswered that I've heard from some of the employees, and I think we need to get to that so they're comfortable. I'm not in personnel, so anyone want to add anything to Ms. Solomon?
I think the meeting we had in personnel last week, most of the individuals, not most, but there were pretty good representative people there, more than there are here tonight, and they requested that Mark work with them and attempt to move the process forward, and they were willing and open to other alternatives. And I think the personnel committee directed Mark to look at those alternatives and move forward. And if he can make it work, fine. And if he can't, then they realize what has to be done.
So, it's a consensus that we would, whatever we do tonight, would include the $70,000 and let Mark work on that between now and November, and then come back at that time. Consensus there. Okay. All right, Mark. Do you want to move on to the update page, which would have been in your council packet that was put in our mailboxes on Friday? Item 2A, there's at the bottom of the page, there are some updates. Mark?
I'm going to pass out a slightly revised version that your data is otherwise identical. It's formatted vertically instead of horizontally. But the only reason, and I'll explain at the end why I gave this slight change. So what this sheet does is points out the changes that have occurred since the budget was presented to you. I will start with the column that says revenue, because that's the first good example. Even the night of the presentation, I told you the state had reported to us a change in expenditure restraint program. The final number was $132,900 additional loss. General transportation aids, similarly, Paul was able to talk a lady at the state to release the number to us before it was actually published, and we could see we're going to lose an additional $36,000. I think it was supposed to be released today, but I didn't hear extension. But she said that's the number included for Franklin, and that she didn't believe it would be changed from there. During that period, we were made aware that there was a police department grant being received for $52,500. A grant we received before, I believe, for more traffic enforcement. Yeah. The next item under that says correction of electrical contractors' permit income. This was just a number that the department had submitted. We didn't get it picked up, and it's relative to a change in state program where electrical contractor licenses will no longer after April 1st be issued by the city, they'll all be managed by the state, and all the revenue will go to them too. So that reflects the loss in revenue after that point. I'm going to shift over to the expenditure column briefly, and then I'll come back to those last two in the revenue column. Also last week, the state sent us revised WRS percent ratios that would apply. And the new one they gave us had a slight reduction in percentage due to the disability, duty disability portion of the equation. And so our ratio went down, which would save us expenditures of $57,345. And that number that you just talked about, which was $70,000, last week it was $80,000. This reflects an adjustment of $10,000 of additional costs, some sort of additional fine-tuning from principal on what the ongoing costs of keeping the plan in a frozen state would be. And so we did build that in as a cost that we would not be able to avoid. So that's why the $70,000 is in the other page. Originally it was $80,000. The $341,000 other in finance was just something we used for rounding. And then I'm going to shift back then to shift from debt service levy and shift from street improvement levy. So when you look at the net of those primarily state actions, there was a shortfall of around $80,000 that needed to be funded. In the original departmental request, there was a request for about $2 million in borrowing for some capital projects. And in part because of that, there was an additional $50,000 in levy left in the debt service fund. The budget the mayor submitted actually reduced that $2 million to $200,000. But we had that levy still in there so that if the $2 million in borrowing was desired, we could still fund to be able to do it. But instead of a bird in the bush, we have one in the hand, and we have to fund this deficit. So we have recommended shifting some of the debt service, some levy that was available in debt service, back to the general fund to fund these state deficits. Similarly, we had hoped to be able to increase the levy that was available to the street improvement fund as part of sort of a long-term plan to anticipate being able to ensure the any future sort of blip in the need for road repairs, that there'd be sufficient fund balance. In the short term, there really isn't a problem in that fund to be able to leave the amount of levy in there this current year. So that's what we did, just returned it to the current year's levy in the street improvement fund. All of those left about $20,000 actually to the good, and the mayor is recommending putting that towards additional quarry monitoring services. As you know, we took some quotes on it, and the quotes came in considerably above the resources available just from the quarries themselves and the PDD. This would add an additional $20,000 to it, would probably go a good distance toward still putting together a fairly good monitoring program that has the enhanced air quality monitoring that the city is looking for. Moving to where it says capital outlay funds, if you noticed on your agenda for tomorrow, Jerry Schaefer has a request on there for authorization to move forward with a grant for some trees. It's a grant I believe we've received in the past, anticipating that you would approve it as you did in the past. We have included both the expenditure and the revenues, so it would already be taken care of. And then the reason I handed out this modified sheet today is the one that I included in your packet. Listed up top that we are shifting money from the debt service levy and from the street improvement fund, but it actually didn't list that as a separate transfer, so that got reflected in those individual funds. So in the bottom of that page, we've just added that. It's really more of a technical correction, but if you do approve this and recommend this as as an amendment to the mayor's recommended budget. I just wanted to make it clear that those funds, the money moves out and it moves into the general fund as noted at the top of the
page. Is there any changes then to the road, the street improvement levy, and the fund?
Well, it reduces the levy, but it doesn't change the road program. The fund balance for the street improvement fund, I believe, is still in the neighborhood of $500,000, I want to say. Paul can look that up. But, you know, we use the street improvement fund to try to level spending over the years while being able to address sort of spikes in the amount of road that we need to fund. If you talk to engineering, they'll say using a 30-year life for the road, you know, we're not funding enough annually. But we do have a fund balance, and if you look at the short term, the sort of scores of the road and the rating system, we're good at the current funding level for at least a number of years in the short term. Yet, it does anticipate a fund balance of $540,000 at the end of next year in the street improvement program. So if something came up, you still have $500,000.
So when I started 4.5 years ago, I think we had to put in about $1.4 million a year into the roads. Now we're up to like 1.6, almost 1.7. So we obviously haven't done that since I've been here under current conditions, economic conditions. But it'll get to a point where we're going to come ahead in the road, let's just say.
Yeah.
This will still leaves us money in case something does come up, but we have to, this number keeps getting bigger. We're having some real problems.
I think if there's staff time in the next year to 3 years, we probably need to do sort of a more detailed breakout of what's in the PASER report and to anticipate where all those roads that are currently 5s, 6s, 7s, and 8s, at what point they're going to become 3s and 4s, so that we can narrow down where we think if there's sort of a blip in that timeline. They have a report where the state says on average how long it takes a road to move from a 5 down to a 4, but that average is just that, an average. It can vary fairly considerably by an individual stretch of road based upon its traffic and, you know, how well a subsurface was put in, those kinds of things. So I would think if staff had time, you could in the future do a more detailed study and get a better sense of where any blip we might have in the future is coming. Is that 7 years out? Is that 15 years out? You know, so that you could still address long-term funding issues in the fund.
Is that similar to where we have the revolving equipment fund, where we know that certain big-ticket items are coming down the road and we can plan for that? Is that what you're saying?
Similar, yeah. It's a little harder to do with roads. Yeah. Ron's probably over there going, exactly how would I do
I'm
that?
Looking at Ron, yeah. I was looking at him the whole time you were talking. I'm not sure if he has
the
same
smile. I did
the
opposite. I tried not to look at Ron. But right. I think it.
I was glancing over there.
But it can be done.
All right. On this, we obviously what's new here is the $20,000 to the quarry monitoring service, or that some money from the city. Is there any conversation that want to take place on that issue? Alderman Solomon and Alderman Olson.
I think it's a waste of money myself, but that's my own opinion. I realize that the contract that we received was very, very high. I also realize that the quarries are also under direction to monitor. They have been monitored. We just had a situation 2 weeks ago or so, a week ago, and I think everybody was on it. I think everybody understood it. We haven't seen the results of the seismograph readings yet, as far as I know. But I do believe there's adequate monitoring going on there right now. So I would question that $20,000, but I'm the one person on this dais. So.
Well, Alderman Olson, we may be that $60,000 right here, Alderman Olson.
Darn right, baby. I don't know how you can ask other taxpayers in the city to pay for, except for last Thursday, when the events are local. And the monitoring currently is paid for by the quarry operators. Why should the taxpayers put the bill for them? I'm for moving it out.
Okay. We have Alderman Skransky and then Alderman Schmidt.
Yeah, I would the same way. I think the cost for where we have there is adequate.
and I don't see a reason why to put any more money into that.
Okay. Alderman Schmidt?
Sorry.
Obviously, this is a touchy issue with this. The when the Quarry Monitoring Commission has still been evaluating how to bring down the cost of what those Cadillac services were originally listed as, so we can bring it to a more reasonable cost. But I think if the money is there, we could put something directly to it besides what the quarry's got to be putting into it. Possibly, maybe some of all that $20,000 wouldn't be needed. But there needs to be something done because the quarry monitoring needs to have the services.
I'm going to quick call on most of the part.
You can't unring a bell. So what good is monitoring? You know, we had the blast on Thursday. Happened. Everybody knew about it. So what purpose would be putting additional money to monitor that? They would call us and tell us, hey, you had an event. I don't think it's a useful purpose for the money. And I can't justify it to my taxpayers, my constituents. And given $20,000 to monitor something that's already happened, as opposed to more money for a copper and Chief Oliva's or a firefighter for Captain Chief Martin's, it's a no-brainer for me. So I say no to the 20.
So you're saying put that money towards those departments that you're telling me?
I am not.
Okay, just checking. I mean, I was reading something
nice
here.
Touch.
I saw. All right, Mark.
Since you don't have the report back yet on suggestions on the cost of quarry monitoring, I'll give you the input I have from being probably the person who's looked at it the closest so far in the city, having reviewed it. The big difference is going to be your air quality monitoring. When you were spending your full amount from the quarry in the past years, it's when you weren't doing any air quality monitoring and the DNR was. They're not doing it anymore. And there's been a clear request made to staff to make sure that gets incorporated into the RFP, and there's an expectation that there is air quality monitoring in the final program design. It will be very difficult to do any sort of continued level of blast monitoring, as it's been historically done, and add any appropriate level of air quality monitoring without probably more funds than the $40,000 will provide. If they can squeeze something in for the, you know, the 42 or 44, that will leave no money probably for response to problems. When there's something that comes up and you need to say, now go out and look at this, you'll be pretty well tapped. So I think the $20,000, having looked at bids at 150 and 98, you're only going to be about 63, but I think working with the consultant, we can put together still a quality program that provides good air quality monitoring and the ability to respond to sort of an immediate problem that comes up, and we have to send them out on something that is beyond the standard scope of services, you know, with, like an emergency response, a special report. So if you're looking for what I thought I heard, at least some members talking about trying to be able to do, I think we can give you a quality program adding 20. It will be very challenging to do it for just the quarry amount because that's what it used to take and you didn't have air quality monitoring.
Alderman Skransky, then Alderman Olson.
Yeah, well, the agency was the DNR that was monitoring the air along with it, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so if they felt that there was no need to monitor this anymore, and they said no more, why should we go ahead and add into it and do it if they feel, and they're the governing agent over the top of us, that there's no problem here? So I'm not for giving any more money to this.
Assuming that wasn't a rhetorical question, because they have different standards that they're looking for, and our PDD has certain standards in that, so if we're going to enforce our PDD, it would be up to us to engage in the air quality monitoring. So That would be the reason.
Alderman Olson.
Well, we're spending a lot of time trying to fix a problem that I think was on its way to being fixed. I noticed, my first statement is if the committee feels that air quality monitoring is essential, then shift the money from monitoring seismic activity, which is currently done by the DNR and the city and the quarry operators, and shift it over to air quality monitoring. I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a problem spending more money on it. Now, I do note in the budget that there's a $2,000 increase. Where's that money coming from?
In the original line item?
Yep.
That's just taking into account a better estimate from the original number in the PDD with all the CPI factors built in. So it's not levy. It's not levy. It's quarry money. 100%.
I'll just add that I recall when we had this debate time and time again a couple months ago, I said I think there's a lot to do about nothing. I think the states are monitoring this stuff already. And if it came in one penny over the $42,000, well, now you're talking about CPI and that, but if it came over one penny, I wouldn't support it. Here's $20,000 more, so I can't support spending this money towards that. So unless we have any more on this, let's go to page 8, which is general fund revenues. Sure, Alderman Olson.
Actually, a point of convenience. Is somebody going to make a note of those suggested consensus changes here so that
We can make motions tonight, this evening. I will vote on, put on the record. I will be voting, and as an alderman. And if you want to make a motion to remove that, we can, as we go point by point, we can make changes tonight. Madam Clerk, are you looking like you were going to add something, or no?
No.
No. Mark.
I did put out a memo with a suggested format you could use, and based upon having worked in a similar structure in this in a different community. And if you were in support of these, you could make the motion to tentatively amend the mayor's recommended budget by the actions as listed on the updates to the 2013 budget revised, except amending quarry monitoring service to contingency, if that's what you're wanting to do. You still shouldn't have it balanced and have that 20 go somewhere. I would suggest contingency if you don't put it into quarry monitoring.
Madam Clerk, and then Alderman Olson, did you want it to be contingency, or did you, I mean, you make any motion you want, and we'll take it up. Madam Clerk.
I just think it's important that somebody address the reason that the Committee of the Whole is allowed to make a motion, because the general knowledge is people believe that at a Committee of the Whole
Is this the city attorney to answer this question?
The short answer is that the budget process ordinance adopted earlier this year singularly allows for actions by the Committee of the Whole. Obviously, that had a Committee of the Whole meeting with that budget result in terms of recommendations upon the mayor's budget, being the budget that proceeds. Summary form for the public hearing before ultimately the Common Council makes its final decision on the budget.
Okay. Very clear on that. Alderman Olson? I fear you were up with something for us.
Thanks. Move to tentatively amend the mayor's recommended budget by removing the expenditure of $20,000 for additional quarry monitoring service, and reducing the increase in the tax levy by the same $20,000.
But including everything else on the updates.
Let's do it just tonight.
Because that's not in the budget.
Oh, all right.
These were the correct.
With the rest of the page.
Because it wasn't what he said.
Budget as prescribed.
Incorporating the updates to the 2013 budget revised as presented, excluding the quarry monitoring service. Yeah.
And we have a motion on the floor. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second, any discussion?
I knew you'd see my wood, big guy.
Okay, we are happy people here. We have no discussion. Okay, I'll make it all in favor. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Motion? No.
Roll call.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Alderman Olson.
Aye.
Alderman Salomon.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
No.
Alderman Scransby.
Aye. Motion carries 4-1. All right. We will move forward then to page 8, which is general fund revenue. Mark, or who's going to take this up? Mark, Paul?
Did you, Chairman, did you want to start with the general fund expenditures first?
You want me to do expenditures first, then revenue? Okay, that's fine. We do revenue.
And that would be the first pages past your pink sheet, which separates the two sections. So you're looking at page 52.
Oh, 52, not 8.
So general fund expenditures, really the what you see in 8 is just a summary.
Oh, okay.
Your best way is just to flip through the departments and see if you have a comment or questions on any of the departments.
So do we, all right, so we're going to go one by one on page 52. We're starting on page 52.
And we don't have any presentations anticipated for any
right.
of the departments. It's really only if you have questions or... You know, for an individual department, if you want to call a department head up. Otherwise, you can just.
I'll call departments one by one, and then if there's any questions that we have of those departments, the alderman can take them up.
I have no question.
Just for the record, Alderman Salomon has just stepped out for a moment. Okay, anybody want to ask any questions on the mayor's budget?
No.
Alderman's budget. Alderman Olson.
No, I do this every once in a while. We've asked our staff to take a hit. It may be appropriate, I think it is appropriate, that we take a hit too and reduce or eliminate our expense budget.
No.
I'll make a motion to reduce the Alderman's budget. Mark, do you have the number?
That would be the numbers on page 56.
56?
If you look at your individual line items, except for salaries, which are set by ordinance and you can't really impact, I don't think yet, because of the...
Mileage auto allowance.
Yeah.
$10,800. With the reduction reflected in the reduction in
the... I think the city attorney would have to answer if that's part of the wage of the job that can only be done for future elections.
That's actually your... You're focusing on the mileage auto allowance that is set by ordinance, and it is in the current positions. It's like expenses. So if anything, you would have to do it effective April 1st or something. It's like reducing the salaries.
I think, as always, any alderman can turn in money back to the city, I believe. We had this conversation 2 years ago and probably 4 years ago. I guess I ran for a job. I know what that job pays. I think it's been since 1998. We have a motion. I haven't heard a second. We'll move on to, unless we're going to wait for an answer. We're going to move on to municipal court. Any questions on municipal court?
Alderman Salomon has returned.
Oh, and Alderman Salomon, for the record, has returned. Municipal court, is there anybody who went?
No.
Any municipal court? No. On the city clerk and elections, how many elections are we going to have this year? We need probably put more money in there, right?
Oh, this one, you really cut this one a little bit.
Actually, you could increase it
by 20,000?
Two additional elections, because if there is a successful race with
Mr. Ryan,
Paul Ryan, next year, if there was a need, there would be two special elections, and either one would coincide with February or April.
I think we could look at
so
that when it comes.
So there's an advance notice that there's a possibility.
So there's a possibility.
Two additional ones, but they're not budgeted because they're not.
I think we'll have to. I think that's very, very possible that could happen, and if that's the case, we'll have to. To address it at that time, I believe, unless there's a need to. No, right, good. Mark?
It is worth noting in this in the elections budget that some of the potential costs that the county is contending municipalities owe for the elections is not built into here, but there's adequate contingency to cover it should that discussion with the county ultimately end up in the city having those added costs.
Okay. We will go to information services. Anyone want anything on that? No. Administration. Mark. I mean, not Mark. Alderman Olson.
Don't promote.
I know.
I know that there's $3,000 in employee recognition. I appreciate that line. I don't mean that. Thank you very much, Mark.
This is just a corrected page. The text, one of the interim draft pages got inserted instead of the final one. And it had some language in the budget summary that doesn't actually reflect the numbers. So please look at these pages for budget summary. Replace those pages in the document.
I would throw my comment. No, you didn't hear it and didn't want to hear it.
No, nothing's changed.
So we, for the record, Mark has heard the positive comments from Alderman Olson. We have finance
That's
and audit.
Unusual.
Anybody? I know it is unusual. Anything finance and audit? Do we have anything in that department you'd like to discuss? Nothing in finance and audit. The assessor. Anything in the assessor's office? Seeing none. Mark.
I would like to point out for the record, because that is one of the few areas where there is some program change. As I noted in the budget presentation, we did include an interim market adjustment, which is one of the three methods of revaluation that the state allows. And this would have, if I see it staying in the budget, I would work to bring a contract back yet before the end of November, and we would start the reval process so that next year's numbers, the January 1st, 2013, property valuations and the Board of Review for next year and then what hits property taxes for the following, a year from now, we do have a revaluation done that allows the assessed values to more accurately reflect recent changes in the, in the real estate market. So we're using this interim market adjustment, which is a method the state allows that we've never done. But it is cheaper, and we have included it. Does to give us savings both this year and in future years.
Alderman Salmon.
You indicated in the write-up that you're allowed to do that once every five years after a complete reval?
Yeah, some communities do it annually, but you have to do it within 5 years of a full reval, and we're
so
within that.
This last few months, we've seen the market housing market increase by, well, nationally they've said 0.57% since the first of the year. So that is a positive sign. So even though you may lower them next year, in January of 2013, I don't see us increasing those valuations probably. So.
No, I would still anticipate you'll see generally some reduction, but in certain classes of properties, you'll probably see significant. For example, some of the condominium properties have suffered more severe losses in the marketplace than others. At the same time, commercial is actually doing better. So that's one of the things they can do, adjust for differences across classes of property.
I still think commercial is going to take a dip, even though it came up here a little bit, but I think it's...
The reval would be based upon like I said, they would be trying to estimate what the value is using statistical methods based upon January 1st, 2013. That's the next assessment date, that date set by statute, January 1st of every year.
Okay. Moving on, legal services, which is on page 76. Mr. Roberta.
Just, again, want to point out differences from prior years, where they come up. And in this, you can see that there was, on page 78, attorney's fees called additional services, a $30,000 appropriation put in, specifically how that will end up being used. We'll have to come back to Common Council and work out, but it was to provide some ability to supplement the city attorney and his work since he's been so overburdened by some of our major projects.
That was brought up during the presentation?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Fine. No further on that. We have municipal buildings. Nothing on municipal buildings. Insurance. We have to replace roaring one. We got unclassified and contingency.
We'll run back to municipal buildings.
Yes, municipal buildings.
It's just a pet peeve of mine. Page 81. We've got landscape materials at about $2,500. Do we ever use it? Because all I ever see in our lawns around here is weeds. Mark. That was a pointed question.
We do use it. You can see the flowers that are put in each year in the beds out front.
I see all the yellow flowers.
If you look at Mark. If you're asking me to increase the part-time labor that we use in the summer to try and maintain that like we used to, since I think it's been cut in half over the years, we could. But for the amount of part-time we have, and we don't get, we don't use a lot of DPW services. They do regular treatments, but we don't overhit it with chemicals.
That's probably the biggest understatement here tonight. I'm not advocating increasing the budget at all. I would like to see that particular line item used more effectively. And I do know that we specially trained at least one guy to be a certified applicator of weed control and pesticides.
Yeah.
So let's,
and they're used.
Let's see if we can be more effective. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alderman Olson, for that. So we went through insurance and unclassified contingency. Let's go down to public safety. We'll start with police department on page 86.
Move to delete.
Chief,
how did you get home tonight?
Yeah. You feel safe?
Chief, in the past, last couple years, we had a number of squad cars requested and cut. Is this, we're pretty much where we should be at this time? I mean, six is...
Yeah, this budget
will go up to the mic.
Bring us pretty good on with our review.
Just, oh, don't get up.
All right.
All right,
that's
right.
You would?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, no.
What'd you do?
I had knee surgery on Friday.
Oh.
He needs more money in the budget.
Yeah.
I saw the previous couple years we sort of trimmed a car or two and just was just curious if what, I mean,
right,
I'm not recommending any here, but I'm just curious to what the end result was, if there's any issues just based on what we had done.
Well, we've done, I think, the best we can to keep the vehicles we've had in running condition. This budget, we're given all the vehicles we requested, so this will put us in good shape.
Let's back to where we should be.
Right.
Okay. Any other, Alderman Olson?
Chief, tell me a little bit about the license plate recognition equipment. Honestly, are you finding that to be an effective use of $21,000? Is that paying off?
It's extremely effective. It has increased, I don't look at it as a revenue generator, but it has increased stops of vehicles that drivers are wanting on warrants. So our warrants have increased. It's really an effective investigative tool, and I believe that having all those camera systems is like having a couple of officers, extra officers on the street. It's just a fantastic system. Just about every municipality in the county in the country is going to it. We're probably a little bit ahead of the game at this point with those, but it's just, I envision at some point hopefully the majority of our cars having it, because it's like a force multiplier. Just incredible the amount of data and information where these systems can generate.
Thank you, Chief. I wanted to offer you that opportunity.
It's not enough, but from what you said before, but go ahead.
In your capital equipment request, not this capital outlay, but the capital in the back, you asked for a new CCTV system for the station. I have concerns about the security here and at the fire stations when the stations are empty. So I guess as you go to bid on that, if that gets approved, I would like to see if we can squeak a couple extra IP cameras for a couple of the other more sensitive, and that's, this is your department, not mine, but a couple of the more sensitive locations on the city property.
I'd be for that.
Because the price of those things are going down.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Any more for the police chief before you let him wheel the chair back? You can just sit in that one.
No, it's fine. Great.
All right. We have the fire and public fire protection on page 93. Any discussion on that department? Any questions? Seeing none. Building inspection, page 98.
Got a lot of pages here.
Got a lot of pages. Everybody's, let's all, everybody kind of catch up to where we're supposed to be. Everybody on page 98 with the building inspection?
Right. I have a question.
All right, Alderman Skaransky.
Are our inspectors crossover certified that they can do multiple inspections? Who answers that question?
Some are.
Some are?
I mean, if you want the specific list, I know Fred can answer exactly which ones currently have what certifications. Some we have had some certifications that recently expired that were outside the requirements of the job, some of the cross-certification, but there still are some that are. If you'd like Fred to give some specifics, he can do that.
Oh, okay. Fine, because and other municipalities that you can have a building inspector inspect electrical and plumbing inspector can inspect some building, and this way it becomes more efficient. Also, it becomes much more economical for an inspector in order to do that. They're all certified by the state, so I would think that our department here would be doing the same thing. I don't know, Fred, maybe you can answer that question.
And in fact, built into our human or civil service policies is, in fact, an additional small monthly stipend for any employee who maintains these extra certifications outside their core area of their job description.
I think it's good because it just makes our department much more efficient, much more usable, especially when you get either the large jobs or small jobs. It works out real efficient. I've seen that in other communities.
It is not something we require by job description, but it's something we allow and encourage through a small additional monthly stipend for anyone who maintains those additional certifications.
I think whatever the money is spent on it comes back tremendously, and plus it makes the department very efficient.
And all means Gratzky also, it's makes it simpler for the homeowner and the business owner and things like that.
Sure.
Also.
Time-wise, appointments, everything else, one inspector's there, he can go through and do all the inspections at one time where possible. So it just works out pretty good. And I'm saying that because I experience this when you have in many other communities that I'm in all over. And when you have one inspector, then you got to wait for another inspector, and then you got to wait. Pretty sure you got a week lost because you're waiting for inspectors or times or extra days. And I think it runs very efficient that way.
Fred, do you have anything to add to this conversation?
I know we're already doing that. Primarily, it's in our city. It's in the residential inspection, so our residential building inspectors can cross over and do residential plumbing and residential electrical. Some of it follows through with the plumbing electrical inspector falling back into some of the building categories. The area that we don't currently do it is the commercial plumbing and the commercial electrical. Only have some limited ability to cross over, so we only have one person that crosses over from electrical to plumbing just because those certifications are extremely complex, and the one person we got certified in the past got in on a special window at the time as to how they allowed the certification testing to be exempted. Our inspectors are cross-certified. We are using the cross-certifying as much as possible, and in almost all cases where we've got to substitute separate inspectors to come in and do that, we're tagging those times together, so we're not making somebody come in on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to get a plumbing, electrical, and building. That was to happen. We're trying to get the same day at the same time and send multiple inspectors where we have to.
I would think for being progressive as a city is to make sure that all happens and have them all so they can run together and do these things concurrently. Pardon?
Especially the small jobs.
Yeah. You know, just when you get the large ones or get a Northwestern Mutual, that's a different story. But when you get in any residential or small commercial, guy can run through it and get it all done at one time and on with you and on you go and everything else. Just its efficiency.
Thank you, Fred. Alderman Solomon and
Alderman Earlier this evening, Mark, you talked about the state taking over electrical inspections. I'm assuming that's all commercial now? There was a $9,000...
The licensing?
Yeah.
We still issue permits. We just don't issue the permits for the contractor themselves to be authorized to perform.
That's the state.
Okay, the state
that's
is taking
the state.
That's
the state is taking that over. But
plumbing
we still
and electrical
do the inspections.
Correct.
Okay. Thanks for setting me straight up.
Alderman Olson?
On that same item on page 100.6, top of the page is the revenue for that particular issue, and you still have $2,000 in there. How are we going to get that $2,000?
The state's taking over, I believe, April 1st. So there will still be people who want to do work in Franklin during the first quarter of the year, and they will need a license.
But they can't get from the state?
The state's not issuing them until...
Just not issuing them. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
So that's the first quarter of revenue.
Yeah. Thank you very much. On the building inspection, we have on page 101, sealer of weights and measures. I noticed in the heated discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a move to the... No, we don't.
1 pound, 2 pounds.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to public works, engineering and public works on page 103.
Let's check this one out real thoroughly.
Okay, we have
real close.
No conference. Well, let's see, we're moving right along here. We have highways,
we'll let this one
highways
slip.
And parks. All right, nothing on highways and parks. Street lighting.
Wait a minute, is there another excavator in your budget, Jerry?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. No. He's got a coring machine.
I was out there today. I did not see any excavators on any list. Okay, we got weed control. We heard about weeds earlier, even though this is actually speaking of weeds control. I've already talked to Mark. We had this conversation around this time last year, but the ball kind of got dropped. Mark, when are we going to bring, you're going to bring something in after the budget to be implemented, maybe come January or come before this body to basically increase fines for first offense, second offense, because the key is let's get out of this business of mowing people's yards. You've heard it loud and clear. Mark has done this before, or communities he's been in before. And we're going to bring something in February, like March? No, not March. It would
have been nice to know that.
What? For the budget? No, it's a top secret. It's going to get you some revenue to pay for those elections. so we're going to have something to bring forward.
I'll work with the clerk on it. You've talked about it as a board a couple of times in the past, but... We'll try and get it in place before.
Basically, we have the same people every single year that it takes a complaint for their yard to get mowed, and we got to make it painful enough that we're not, the city of Franklin is not the lawn service for these people. Simple as that. Alderman Olson, then Mark.
I hate to do this because we're all smiling at each other tonight, but if you page 112.18, I note that there's a $5,000 annual budget for electricity for the air raid sirens.
Very well.
Ongoing expense, $5,000 a year for the air raid sirens. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, they're tornado sirens, mm-hmm. which, by the way, have seen zero use.
That's great.
I make that point.
I think that's a very good point. Thank God we've had zero use of that, and I had to use it beside testing so that our residents in the city have not had a tragic event, let's say like Eagle and other communities around us. So I'm very glad that we haven't heard this besides testing. Thank you, Alderman Olson. Mark, anything to add?
I was just adding on the weed thing. the state ordinance restricts what you can actually charge,
right.
So you can't make profit.
Right.
But you can actually issue violation notices as well and give them municipal citations, and that's where you get them discouraged. It can add some work the first ticket that goes through, but you eventually people move very quickly from using it as a lawn service if they get
right.
citation notices.
It's a long time coming.
Take the high bidder instead of the low bidder for the service.
Well, no, it's not the service. It's the fact that they still have to pay for the service, but they're going to have a fine on top of that, and the second offense and the third offense eventually is going to be so cost prohibitive they're going to actually mow their lawn and trim the bushes.
Yeah, multiple.
That's keep going to happen.
Raising it.
Well, they still have a bank that owns the property.
The bank will add it on when they sell it anyway.
Exactly. It goes under tax. That's the easy one.
Doesn't make any difference.
They want to have their property look halfway decent for resale anyway. So, all right, we've already talked about the tornado sirens, and that was a good one, good conversation. We're going to go on to item on page 117 under Health and Human Services, Public Health.
That sounds like a winner.
Any discussion on Public Health? Seeing none. Animal Control on page 120.
Don't get it, go on.
All right, we know we don't like that topic. I understand that completely. Okay, under culture and recreation. Seeing none, say Martin's
Fair.
Is
there culture in this city or not?
Oh, there's a lot of it.
There's a lot of recreation. Okay.
Under St. Martin's Fair?
Sounds like a winner.
All right, under parks?
You're doing well. Maybe a date change.
Okay, under parks. All right, under then conservation and development, planning and economic development, page 126. Up, Alden Olson.
But let's talk about animals for a minute. Page 120.
Okay, we can go back.
It costs us $199 every time Maddox comes out and does something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It doesn't cost the person responsible for the animal unless he cares it's a wild animal. They don't pick up wild animals.
Only if they're on the road.
$199 at an event for the tune of $45,000 to Maddox.
It's the building.
It's the building, it's the asphalt driveways, it's the cable TV they put in there, it's the air conditioning. I was sitting on this council and
we were sold a building before I got here.
Would you like to take some action on this item? Or?
I don't know what action other than delete the whole damn thing, but then we don't have any service.
I think it's something
that we're required to pay them a little more.
Yeah.
Yeah, our debt service is $12,325.
Yep.
Yep.
Who pays? Do we get any reimbursement? Does anyone know if we get reimbursement on the collection of an animal? Chief?
No. Are there any communities that pass this through to the homeowner that has the animal?
I think we should talk with Matic about this.
Well, we've been talking about this every year, twice a year. Once at budget, and once when the contract or something comes before us. This is a little we do have it every single year, twice.
Yeah.
So, is there any?
I'm not aware of it, but if Maddox receiving the revenue, and the revenue is showing up in their net costs, which are then allocated back through the formula. So, if Maddox getting the revenue, we would be getting our share of that revenue through the formula. So they don't. Just like they don't allocate specific costs to Franklin for animals picked up in Franklin, we have a sort of a proportional share of the whole cost. The same thing occurs for the revenue. So it's that net cost that we have an obligation for. So, in effect, we do get our share of the revenue.
Alderman Olson?
I believe that their formula is based on assessed value.
It's got two factors. One's assessed, not assessed value, but equalized value, and the other is based on a running average of the number of pickups in your community. So if you have higher assessed value or if you have more pickups, our costs, we've had lower pickups some of the years, so our costs have actually not increased as much as they otherwise would have.
I'll make a motion to amend the mayor's budget. Tentatively preliminary, cautiously maybe, modify the mayor's budget, eliminating $35,425 from the animal control budget, pending report from staff on activity and possible revenue recovery.
How much again?
$35,425.
It's all the fines.
See, what about the fines and coming back to what? I mean, if there's money collected,
Yeah.
Pay our mortgage.
Right.
Whoever's dog it is pays.
We have a second.
No second.
Good man.
Armin Salmon under discussion.
I got a question. We've got a lot of wild cats, feral cats in this city.
And
they do come out and get those, and I work through Bill Worker all the time to get those. And some of the situations aren't very nice. We've had a couple of occasions of people feeding these feral cats outside. And so it does get kind of sticky at times. So they do provide us a service. I do believe that this $35,000, though, is way excessive.
Half a cup?
Yeah. The principal and interest on the facility, you see that, but they do, you know, for $35,000, a total of 130 animals at $35,000 for a total. That's what we're charged. So what does that come up to? You got your computer out there?
Yeah, Rick's doing the numbers. What is it, Rick?
That's that expensive, to say the least.
They go to the Hilton Hotel or something?
Is it, yeah, is that for every animal, no matter what kind it is?
Well, the projection is 130 animals.
It's $270 an animal.
$270 an animal.
Mark?
Well, that's a pretty good fee.
Mark?
Some of the dogs and cats aren't worth that much.
Mine is.
Yeah.
The numbers in the budget do reflect our contractual commitments. So we have a contract. You reviewed it and discussed it at length a couple of years ago and re-entered into the contract. So we do have that. But I will point out, when you look at the estimate, depending, again, our costs per animal have gone up because we've had a few fewer the last couple of years. But if I look at what we anticipate to be about $199 per animal, you think, well, that's pretty expensive. But frankly, for any specialty service that requires back-end heavy capital, I can't get anybody else to come out for that. If I ask a locksmith to come here and fix one little doorknob, I'm going to pay more than I do to ask someone to come pick up one little cat. You know, they're going to charge you a $65 trip charge. They're going to, you know, so it may sound like a lot, and to me it seems like a lot, but when you look at the fact that they're coming from in Milwaukee, driving here, tracking them down, getting them, then they have to deal with them, house them, potentially euthanize them, depending upon what the issue is, and that all comes for the $199 that we've already contractually committed for. So although it sounds high, any alternative is going to be more expensive.
Alderman Olson?
Well, Mark, I don't know where he came up. You'll tell me where he came up with the $199, because I took $130 divided by, or $35,425 divided by $130, and that's I'm looking at Paul, he's going to nail me. $269 and some odd cents. You know, that's a little bit different. But I point out that my motion allows us to put this back in. It's just raising the issue so that we can get more information at the next meeting and then come to some decision and allow the MADAC people to justify their existence to us.
Mr. Worker, I see your hand raised in the audience. Would you like to add something?
Just in support of MADAC, they're very responsive when we call them. They're very professional about their undertakings and the relationship with the neighbors. Please keep in mind that when MADAC calls, there's an underlying concern that a human being may have contracted rabies, and rapid capture and diagnosis of that animal is very important, because the individual fears a death sentence because of rabies, and they're undergoing a series of vaccinations that are very expensive that must be administered in a prescriptive manner. Consequently, the sooner we can capture the animal and debate the diagnosis, end that fearful diagnosis, the happier the resident is, and there's nobody else that does it. They're a one-man band, and they do about it. And be careful of eliminating that service. Maybe get it for less, but it's essential that we have someone that comes as quickly as MADAC comes.
Alderman Olson?
My concern is cost per event and who pays for that event. I would like to see the burden of payment on the person responsible for the event, not the city taxpayers.
I believe ordinance allows that from our perspective. When we, first of all the rabies testing is done at the state level, hydrate at no expense to the resident or the city. As a health officer, that's a guaranteed laboratory expenditure of $190 per test, no cost to us. The only cost we currently have the person pay is the postage, about $30.
Alderman Olson?
I appreciate that, Mr. Wooker, RN, but you're talking about dogging. Ostensibly cat bites. We don't have a lot.
Raccoons, bats, any animal that might harm.
It's my understanding that MADAC does not take care of wild animals.
Well, they'll help us with mammals. Yes, raccoons.
When it's involved with a bite case, right?
Primarily.
Yeah. So, frankly, it's limited, right? Yeah.
So we have a motion up for it. Can you please restate your motion? We'll do a second.
To delete that line item pending report from staff on that thing. I said it properly the first time.
Madam Clerk, could you please repeat this motion?
Alderman Olson moved to tentatively amend the mayor's recommended budget by eliminating $35,425 from the animal control budget pending report from staff on activity and
the motion for a second. Any further discussion? I'll just say that I think if we're going to make them sweat a little bit, give us some answers. That's basically what we're looking at here, because it seems like we have had this conversation time and time again. We're under contract. I hope staff doesn't put in a ton of time, except for the fact that we should have MADAC answer questions that they've never answered since I recall being here. But this is part of the contract we have with them. Paul.
Is the motion to move that to contingency or to reduce the tax level?
You'll never hear me say move it to contingency.
Yeah, he's never will say. You'll learn. He'll never say contingency. It's always out. Alderman Skronsky.
Yeah, I would like to have MADAC here before we move on this money where we're going on it. I'd rather have an explanation from the people we're paying before we start eliminating something. Then I would justify and say yes or no.
I think the motion kind of covers that to get an answer, I do believe. And so part of it, the motion is to have something conversation with them, right, to get some information. We could have them show up here, correct? Alderman Olson's shaking his head. That's his intent. That's the second's intent. Okay, Mark?
I was just, ultimately, though, since we still have a contractual commitment to the
expenditure, we can still get some answers for
what
the money we're paying.
What you're really wanting is to add a revenue.
Right, we could
not really to eliminate an expense, because you will still have the expense.
Right, there's a way we can go and charge for this, correct?
Yes. I don't know. You'd have to have an ordinance,
right?
Since every community is in their budget process right now, wouldn't it be better for us to ask these questions when our contract comes due next year?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that make more sense to have an individual from MADAC here at that particular time?
Since our contract is due, and we can walk away then, you're saying?
Well, we can get all the answers at that point in time, not now.
Yeah.
We're under contract to pay this no matter what, so we have an existing contract.
MADAC always slows down a meeting, there's no doubt about that. Mark, you want to answer the question?
I would agree that at the end of that contract's a perfect time to do it, but what we could do in advance of that is I could get a letter to and attend the next operations committee and tell them that our community won't want to address a new contract without this question being specifically addressed relative to pushing the expenses onto those people who caused it.
Alderman Olson.
And then we can address that through the operations committee and then into their budget as well.
Alderman Olson.
I still think it's important for the taxpayers of the city to be able to not have to pay for someone else's issue. You know, Bill's worked on cat cases with me and Tim, and it's not the taxpayers' issue. It's an individual's issue. They ought to pay for it. I made this motion full well knowing that that 35 grand is going back in. But until you make a statement and get someone's attention, nothing ever happens, especially in a bureaucracy that's managed by 19 managers. Rick's over there taking notes. I urge you to pass this, and we'll deal with the rest of it later.
Okay, I'm going to call for the Madam Clerk, please. Well, I guess I'll take the roll. We're going to. Any more discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Roll call, please.
Alderman Skaronski.
No.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Solomon?
No.
Alderman Wilson?
Aye.
Motion carries 3-2. Moving forward, we have, when we left off, I believe we had conservation and development, planning and economic development. Any conversation on that item? No. And then we have on page 3, transfer to other funds. No. Okay, let's go back to the beginning.
Where are
you at? Page 30, we're at the end of that.
Okay.
Book.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. LeBron.
If I can suggest, since it's following on with the individual department budgets, if you look at page 34, dot 2, 3, and 4, that gives you the nice detail on the approved capital outlay purchases by department. This is a new summary page Paul put in this year, where we actually put the individual items, what was requested, what was approved. So it's a little harder to see sometimes in the individual department. So in case you wanted to look at it, if you read it all in the individual department side, you don't need to do this. But if you just wanted to see an overview of the capital outlay items by department, those three pages provide you a good overview.
This is a learning process for us also. Does anybody want to talk about, so we said 34.2, 3, and 4?
Yes, that just takes each department, and I believe the same order they reviewed, and lists the capital items that they requested, and then what was recommended and what was therefore not funded. So you can see very clearly
right.
what was done.
Alderman Olson?
I've been concerned for many, many years about the method with which we plan for and then buy computers and technology-related items. I look in this room specifically, the projector and the camera and the sound system. And I don't think as a community, as a group of managers, we do well in long-term planning and financially funding that plan for technology equipment replacement. And Mark, this is not, I don't mean this to be critical. I think we need to do We need to come up with a different plan and a better way to do this than annual budgeting for individual products. So at some point, I'd like the Technology Commission and the Finance Committee to get together and discuss that and perhaps come up with a recommendation.
Okay.
For unified purchasing.
All right, thank you.
That's the general
floor. Alderman Olson, all right, so we did general fund expenditures.
Just a point, just for clarification, in the early motion that was adopted, there was a $25,000 addition to page 34.4 for tree acquisition in the highway department. That was already voted on.
That was a part of that
motion. That was part of that grant.
It was a part of the motion, all the updates.
Yeah, that was in the updates.
Minus the $20,000 before put into the quarry. That was all taken.
Correct.
That's right. That motion.
Correct. That motion.
Okay. Now we're going to go back to, I believe,
general fund revenue would be
right.
The next one.
Right. On page 15.
Page. That's all the individual general fund revenue line items. If there's any question on them.
Any discussion on 14.1, 14.2, which is the revenue for 2013? Mr. Mr. Roberta.
I will just point out that the whole group of different building permit and construction permits are doing very well this year. We will meet the budget. We've anticipated the same level for next year as this year, but we did build into the what you see here, anticipating an increase in rates around January 1st of about 3 to 5% for the permit rates, because they haven't changed since 2010.
You didn't put together a little chart and graph for us this year with the different spikes and the different big pressure load projects. What was it really driving that? Normally you always prepare that for the Finance Committee, kind of showing how your revenue is going to be justified.
Workload. No time to break all of those individual permits out.
So basically saying just going through numbers, you got it nailed?
Comparing where we are year-to-date, looking at the projects that we know are working their way through Plan Commission right now, we can anticipate. So we will easily make this year's numbers.
So this year's number is good?
Yeah, anticipated next year to be a little less than actually we expect for this year. And then, like I said, the nominal rate increase.
Okay. Any other questions on revenue?
No, we move on this year.
Okay. All right. Should move down to library fund and keep on going down each fund? All right. Library. Any discussion on that? Seeing none on solid waste. See none there. Sanitary sewer.
Sanitary sewer, I would request, and I don't have a handout for you, I would request a tentative motion to amend. We have one item that has a matching expenditure and matching revenue that didn't get included. We'd like to incorporate it, and that is the interest payment due on the Clean Water Fund loan. So we have a revenue that covers it. We just didn't get either the expense or the revenue incorporated. All that amount?
$600,000.
That's the interest portion. So it's a $600,000 revenue, $600,000 expense.
Is
the
revenue?
The
MSD is
doing that. Sorry. Is that the? I want to look at Cal and double check that number. Is that the right one? Revenue and expenditure.
We have a motion. We have a second.
Second.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Moving on to City of Franklin Water Utility. Do you have any issues with that?
That budget has been submitted.
Yeah, the water utility is done by the Water Commission. We don't have any.
Okay, that's right, that wasn't in there. Okay, on to capital projects. We have capital outlay fund, page 33.
Those are the ones by department that you
we just approved.
You just did, okay. So you can jump ahead.
Equipment revolving fund, page 35.
Correct.
Is there any items in that?
No.
There that we'd like to discuss?
You did it.
All right, seeing none, we're going to go to a street improvement on page 39. Marquette in there?
No.
All right. Paul?
Chair, just a reminder, this is also one of those funds that we adjusted with our first amendment. We removed $50,000 in revenue from this fund.
Okay. That was the first on the updates.
That was on the updates.
Correct.
All right.
So we gave an extra $6,000.
Yes.
Was that all
the
time?
Turn your microphone on,
Paul. Here, is this better? The 2012 budget tax levy for this fund was $604,000. By removing the $50,000, we went from $604,000 adopted in 2012 to $610,000 is the proposed budget for 2013 as a tax levy in this fund.
Okay. Okay, so we're okay with the street improvement fund about capital improvement fund on page 43. Discuss anything on that page?
No.
No? Seeing none, not Paul?
Just as a reminder to the committee, we have on that fund on page 45.1.
That's the best summary that shows each of the projects. If you look down the 2013 budget, recommended budget column in the middle.
The recommended 2013 budget in the revenue section, there's a $48,360. The type is kind of small for my old eyes, but that is to come from the impact fees. That amount is still to be determined. That's under by the impact fee study that's currently underway. We do not yet know if that project will qualify for that revenue.
Okay. That's page 45.1. I have it listed as 43.
43.
What is it? 43.
No, up in the, it's the 5th line item in the recommended comments of revenue.
On our sheet, actually, can we go from page 45 to 43? It doesn't say 45.1 on the bottom, just so you know. But that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, that's the one we're talking about.
Okay, that's what I figured. That's always a very good sheet in our, Alderman Olson.
Well, you know, I'll bring up the subject that's most hated around here is the extension of Marquette Avenue, which, by the way, I never did support, but since we've been talking about it for 58 million years, I note that there's only $80,000 budgeted for that project.
I don't think it's necessary.
That would
it's not in the recommended.
It's requested, but not recommended.
I understand it. But I don't believe there's enough money, if you chose to approve it, to make it happen. So let's either put the money in to make it happen if it gets approved, or let's not put the money in at all, but let's not be physically
interesting. Access is going to cost us.
Yeah, the $80,000 was the engineer's estimate for that emergency access.
It's a step,
A narrow road, rural cross section, a couple culvert pipe. It's not a finished product.
Well, again, we've talked about this for a million years, and I've been opposed to it for a million years, but we have been saying we're going to do it. When are we going to do it?
I don't think it's put it up to next year.
Well, it's not been recommended. It was requested, but the mayor did not put that in there, so unless I see a motion to add $8,000 for recommending it, we move on. I don't see any of that. Okay. Cal?
Just a general point. It's the very top line under the recommended. Still $200,000 short of being able to fund the program.
Can you come up to the? So we can get on record, please.
What page are
you? Page 43.
45.
On page.
The page after 45.
The 45.1 is right. In the recommended column, you see proceeds from a borrowing. There's $200,000 that we don't currently have. So we'll have to deal with that funding some way in 2013 if we approve this expenditure budget. Just an FYI. Whether it's by actually borrowing internally with a plan to repay it somehow, or a fund transfer of some sort. Just so you're aware it's there.
Thank you. All right, we're finished with the capital improvements. We got debt service fund on page 47. All right, we have TIF districts, page 50. Anybody like to add anything? Mark, is that basically it?
I believe you've gone through all of the aspects of your budget as it was submitted.
We have a motion then to tentatively, what's the language? Tentatively amend the mayor's recommended 2013 budget by what we've done tonight. We have a motion.
How much did we amend it by?
We subtracted $20,000, and then we took the MADEC issue and kind of put it to future discussion.
For future discussion.
Right. To come back with some answers, correct? Consensus here. Mark?
I guess my recommendation would be if you really have no further actions, then in your final motion, not include the MADEC one, so you don't have to have a separate meeting just to come back, because otherwise you're actually prepared to let us begin to prepare this for public hearing.
Right.
The reduction of $20,000 in proposed levy brings you down a rate change of 0.56 cents, so a little over half a penny. The new tax rate would be 5.7823 instead of 5.788. So I guess what I would suggest is move to recommend the Common Council the mayor's budget along with the previous tentative actions of the Committee of the Whole, excluding the action on the animal control, unless you want to have another meeting to come back.
And the conversation you're going to be having with DPW, correct?
You've still built in that 70. Anticipated savings. We'll bring back a plan on how to do that prior to the end of the year. There's a variety of options we have.
Do we have a motion then?
I'll make that motion.
Okay, we have a second.
Second.
Under discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please roll call vote.
Alderman Olson?
Aye.
Alderman Sound?
Aye.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
Aye.
Alderman Skransky?
Aye.
Motion carries 5-0. Alderman Salmon.
I want to thank Mark, Paul, Cal, all of the staff, because you have had input for the last 3 months. And some pills you had to swallow that were more difficult than others. I thank you for making this a two-hour meeting instead of 10-hour meetings and multiple meetings. So thank you very much. You're all to be commended for what's been happening here this evening. Thank you.
And I do also thank you tonight, because I've been on finance, you know, the previous four budgets, and 12:30, 1 o'clock. And there's prior ones before I was here, with some of you were here having numerous meetings. And so I do appreciate how smooth this went, Alderman Skransky.
Yeah, and also all the employees of the city, understanding where we are and what we have to do. We all represent not only you, but we all represent the 35,800 people in the city, which is important.
Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Fair say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries for adjourn.
Then we can